We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call. We're so grateful to God for another day that wasn't promised to us, but we were allowed to see it by God, and we're so thankful for all of that. If you're on the call today, not a member of the Church of Christ, or you're not a member of Hollow Heights, we welcome you to our call. And to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you're the VIP of our call. We pray God would bless you to have an open heart to receive with meekness his engrafted word, which is able to save your precious soul. We believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. If you're on our call seeking salvation, seeking to be a true worshiper, then you would be wise, or it would be wise on your part to have your ears open to the things I talk about as pertain to the saving of your precious soul. We believe that Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours, not because we ever saw that with our eyes, because this book tells us that he hung there and shed his blood that washed our sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church, the only church in the Bible that is the Church of Christ. And the Bible said, hey, the saved are in the church. Acts 2:47, that means the saved are in the Church of Christ. So if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're not saved. And so you need to know that. Now listen to what I'll talk about this morning. I'll tell you what you must do according to the scriptures to be saved. One thing, Brother Smith, for the prayer, I appreciate you including me in your prayers. Certainly my heart's and certainly focused on evangelism, the saving of souls. And I appreciate the prayer as well. And to all the members of Hollow Heights, we thank you so very much for being supportive of the ministry and the leadership here as we've made the decisions we've made pertaining to the safety for our congregation. Just a side note there, we are, the building did sustain some damages from the freeze, so we're trying to get the building ready. And we're also meeting with the COVID a task force to determine a day to return. So you all be prayerful. Hopefully those of you who can will get you and desire so will get your vaccines as well, so we can be as protected as we can. Now let's study the Word of God. Now we've been studying the book of Acts, and on this morning we're now in chapter 13, continuing the study of chapter 13. And the sermon title this morning I've chosen is Whosoever Among You That Feared God. Whosoever among you that feared God. And I will say that to this audience this morning. Will you be among those who feared God? Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, meaning the matter of your life. He said to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. To fear God is the beginning of a hope of salvation. And then the commands must be obedient. We must be obedient to the commands in order to save our souls and to stay saved after we become Christians. Let's look at Acts 13. In verse 13, we'll pick up there. Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue. This is what I want you to think of this morning. I'm trying to paint a picture for you this morning of a synagogue. What we think of as a church building, the place of worship. So here they are going into the place where typically the Jews would carry out Judaism, the worship of Old Testament. And it was on the Sabbath day, which was still the old law, where they would come together on the seventh day. Now we are on the new law, so we're going to hear it. Old Testament and New Testament preaching today, but it's going to be done by Paul. And so here Paul is going into the Jew synagogue where they worship. And Paul was a Gentile now. He wasn't a Jew. On the Sabbath day, and sat down, so they have seats. So picture this. You're in the building, and it's Paul who's going to preach. The Apostle Paul is going to preach, and the people are sitting down to listen to him. Now, verse 15, after the reading of the law, that's Old Testament. So the Jews knew Old Testament law from Genesis all the way up through the end of the Old Testament, starting in Matthew. We call that Matthew through Revelation. We call that New Testament. So that's when the period of Jesus started coming on the scene in the book of Matthew. So now they're reading Old Testament. That's what they were used to. There was no New Testament at that time. So the apostle would be the one who would write the New Testament, and they would be guided by the Holy Spirit to continue to write. So they don't have a New Testament like we have today. So here's the apostles were starting to preach that New Testament law that they had never heard before. The prophets of Old Testament, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any words of exhortation for the people, say on. So there, Paul is invited now to give an opportunity to speak to a primarily Jewish audience. And so now, here's how we're going to do this. I want you to take me out the picture and think of it as sitting there in the first century listening to a gospel sermon by the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to read it, but think about him talking. So they gave Paul this invitation, verse 16. Then Paul stood up. So now he's standing in front of the people who are seated. You see him? And he's beckoning with his hands. He's motioning with his hand for them. And he said, men of Israel, talking about the Jewish leaders, see, and ye that fear God, that's the key for this study, give audience. He specifically mentioned the people who would hear, give audience, meaning to say amen or to listen, will be those who fear God. And those who don't fear God are not going to give ear to what Paul is getting ready to teach them. He stands up after being invited. So he's going to begin his sermon in the Old Testament. And he's going to go all the way through to what we have today as the New Testament. He's introducing them to what they already, he's starting out to what they already know. And they're going to be okay with that part until they get to the new part, New Testament, and then they're going to start having problems. He's going to recap the Old Testament history to them, and I'm going to give you the verse, so be ready to write them down. And then he's going to start teaching them about Jesus. So what should you be doing this morning? Evaluating if you're one who fear God. Because the sermon title is, whosoever fear God will be those that will be saved. That's the emphasis this morning. So let's go. Here we go. Here go, Paul. He's standing up. You're sitting down. Take me out the picture and listen to him. Here you go. Verse 17. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt with a high arm and brought them out of it. About the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. So you know now, he's going back to Deuteronomy. He's starting around chapter 1, verse 31. Here, about the time of 40 years, suffered he their manners in the wilderness. Remember when children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage? Now they're in a time when they're in the wilderness after being delivered. And the leader is Moses. So he's talking about Moses' time period, what we call the Mosaical time period of the Bible. Before that was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to go back to them at the end of the sermon. So now he's starting with Moses, reminding him, the Israelites, of their history. And when he had scored seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges by the space of 140 years unto Samuel, the prophet. So here he is. Now he's getting ready to talk about, he's into 1 Kings, over there around chapter 6, verse 1, talking about the judges who came on the scene. Verse 21, Paul's still speaking. Afterward, he desired a king. Now he's talking about Israel wanted a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he removed them, he raised up them to be David to be their king. To him also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And here he is. He's telling them about Saul, which was a king, That's 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. And then he started talking about David took over after Saul. So the Jews know this whole story. This is recorded, if you want to go read it, 2 Samuel 7, 12, Isaiah 11, in verse 1, Zechariah 3, in verse 8, Zechariah 6, in verse 12. So from Samuel to Zechariah, he's preaching Old Testament prophets. Now, look at here, he said, of this man's seed, talking about David, had God, according to his promise, raised up Israel, a Savior, Jesus. Now, the Jews had killed Jesus, remember that. Now he introduced this man Jesus, whom they had killed and crucified. And now the Jews have to be, they probably saying amen, you know how people do, they say amen when they agree with everything you're saying. But now he has a point where I'm sure, just like it'd be if I was in front of a Baptist audience and I was talking about the Old Testament, how God delivered them, you know, from through the Red Sea, and Moses took care of them in the wilderness, and how, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, everybody, how Daniel was delivered from the lions. Then you know how that preaching kind of go. Everybody's saying amen, as long as I'm talking about all the things that happened in the Old Testament. But now, he goes to the New Testament. In verse number 23, he mentioned this man whom they killed, Jesus. So my guess is that the Jews are quiet right about this time. Just like people get quiet when I go to the Christ and his church. Listen to him talk about Jesus' life, starting with John the Baptist. In verse 24, when John had first preached, before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, to the Jews first. John was telling them. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? Am not he? But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. He's reminding these people. Y'all remember John the Baptist came and told y'all about this? Then he said, men and brother, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you, underline this part. He's talking to the audience. He said, whosoever among you feared God, to you this word of this salvation is sent. To you. He's telling the only people this word of salvation is going to matter to will be those who fear God. He's now coming from Matthew 3. Chapter 3, 1 through 12, talking about John the Baptist, and John chapter 5, verse 32 through 35, he's quoted. See, you see, Paul was a Bible-quoting preacher, just like I am. He's quoting Bible. He's giving them book, chapter, and verse for everything that they believe. Only people who are going to enjoy my kind of preaching will be those who fear God and want the word of salvation. Now he opens up a can of worms. Not only did the Savior come from the stock of Abraham, of Jews, he's back to Genesis now. He's talking about Abraham. But whosoever feared God, he said, now he is not just Israelites anymore. It's anyone, including the Gentiles. So the Jews, remember, they didn't see the Gentiles as clean. So they're now shook up. This means the Gentiles, as well as the Jews, have offered salvation. And the blood of the Jews are probably starting to boil right about now. As I said, this is the same thing that happens today when I start preaching Christ. Now, people love to hear about Jesus. They want to hear about Christ. But when you put Christ with one church, then the people are no longer okay with that. When I start preaching in one church and other truths of the Bible, such as one must be baptized in the New Testament, one must be worshiping in one church, one must not have instrumental music in worship, one must take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, God doesn't hear a sinner's prayer, you can't accept him in your heart to be saved, then this goes against the whole belief of those who don't fear God. If a person fears God, they won't have no problem. They won't have no problem with what I'm preaching. Because some, though, would love the preaching of the Old Testament, as I said earlier. They want to hear all the good things that happen. But when it comes down to having to be in the one church, or having to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, or having to be baptized, that's when people stop saying amen. So Paul is preaching to Jews. They're probably not saying amen right now. The Gentiles' ears are perked, but the Jews are not. Now, look, notice how he started to come down on them. In verse 27, where I'm at, he said, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and rulers, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath," still talking about that seventh day, this is Jewish worship, "they have fulfilled them in condemning him." Here are the people who had the scripture read to them every Sabbath, prophesying. The scripture was telling them there was coming a Savior, a Messiah. Jesus was coming, yet condemned him at the cross. Isaiah 53. They led him as a sheep to the slaughter. Some were probably there and heard the same sermon, y'all remember, in Acts 2 by the Apostle Peter. He told them the same thing that Paul is telling them now. There are people today who read the Bible every Sunday. Every Sunday in these denominational churches, they'll read the Bible every Sunday about baptism. You can show them in Acts 2:38 where it says baptism is for the remission of sins, and they will say you don't have to be baptized. You can show them in Ephesians 4:4 that the Bible says there is one body. In Ephesians 1:22 tell us that body is the church. You can go to it and read Romans 16:16, where the Apostle Paul says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The church of Christ salute you." You can show them that the church in the scripture is the church of Christ. You can give them God's plan of salvation. You can tell them you must hear the gospel. You must believe with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus be the Son of God. Be baptized to be saved. That's God's plan of salvation. But here's what we need to understand this morning, even for members of the Church of Christ. The only people that's going to be saved will be those who fear God and keep his commands. Whosoever feared God would do what God told them to do. Now, if you want to call today, you have not been baptized. You're not a member of the true church. You don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Obviously, you don't fear God. Nor do you respect the scripture. Because if you respected the scripture, you would not question the scripture. When people say something like, "Well, baptism is not essential for my salvation. I don't have to be baptized. I can just accept Jesus in my heart." Then you don't need the Bible. Just make your own plan of salvation. But if you're going to go to the Bible, 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said, "Baptism does also now save us." Jesus commanded it in Mark 16:15-16. He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved." Who's going to be saved, Brother Brooks? Whosoever feared God and keep his commands. Let's go back to Paul's sermon. I'm in verse 28 now. Now he said now, verse 28, "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that they should be slain." Y'all remember now he's in the New Testament. He's telling them that y'all remember when Jesus stood before Pilate and they told him, he said, "Well, y'all want me to release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." So he's bringing that to their attention. There was no cause of death for him. Pilate told him, "I found no fault in this man." Those Jews were there that day when Pilate said that. He's reminding them. "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre." The day he's talking about is the people that are looking at him. They're listening to him. Just like, you know, some people, I'll just say this to y'all. Some people do not want people like me saying nothing to people who are not members of the Church of Christ. Don't look them in the eyes and tell them they're lost. Don't be nice about it. Be soft. No. You got to tell them to their face. They need to know. If you know you're doing it in love and because you fear God, there's nothing wrong. That's what Paul is doing here. He's telling them, y'all took him. Today is y'all. They're listening to him. He said, "But God," verse 30, "raised him from the dead, And he was seen many days of them, which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, and are his witnesses unto this people. What is Paul doing? Paul is telling, he's starting to preach the gospel. You see that? He's preaching how y'all killed Jesus, hung him on a tree. They took him down off the tree, laid him in that sepulchre of the grave, but God raised him up. That's called the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the same thing that every man, woman, boy, girl that's going to be saved today must hear and believe. Not only are those who are going to be saved here, it's going to be those who are already saved, members of the church. This same gospel is what's going to keep you saved. We can never forget what God did for us when he sent his son. We can never forget, if we want to stay saved, if we fear God, we can never forget. And we should be reminded every sermon I preach, I must remind you that God gave his only son, that Jesus was beaten, he was murdered, he suffered. You need to be reminded that he suffered and that they hung him on that tree for 6 hours. That's how we get to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, to remind us it's a memorial of what our Lord went through to save our soul. That's why we worship you all. That's why we come to the church building. That's why we're on this call right now. That's why we are singing and praying and hearing the word of God and remembering Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection every Sunday, because that's what it took to save our souls. And that's what Paul is telling them. He's preaching that death, burial, and resurrection. And we should never forget what Jesus went through for us to save our souls. Listen to him now. Verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings. He's bringing good news. There's that gospel. There it is. Gospel means glad tidings. So Paul said, I'm bringing the gospel to you. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he had raised up Jesus again. And it is also written in the second Psalms, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. As concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you sure mercies of David. Wherefore he said also in another Psalms, he's just quoting Old Testament to him right now. He said, I told y'all, this has been coming. He's over there in Psalm, the second division. He's referring to Romans 1:14. He's telling them what he said there. He's over there in Isaiah 55 now, the sure mercies of David. He's in 2 Samuel 7:10. He's going to also repeat what Peter said in Acts 2:27-31. So you see, Paul, he's like the Church of Christ preachers of the day. We quote book, chapter, and verse for everything that we preach. That's something we are very thankful for. The men that will stand with the book. And that's something Brother Stroud and I hold on to. We give Bible for what we believe and what we preach from the pulpits of Howland High Church of Christ. Anywhere they put us in the pulpit, we're gonna get Bible. And that's what I'm in good company here. When you get in company with men like Paul, this is a good company to be in, and Peter. You can see, verse 35, thou shalt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. But David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. And he's telling them, your king David is dead and was laid unto the fathers and saw corruption. See, they still trying to live under the old law. He said, but David dead, y'all. David dead, but there's another man on the scene called Jesus. But he whom God raised again, talking about the resurrection of Jesus, saw no corruption. But it be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, what man? Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. See there? Now he's into the New Testament teaching them that what God has done is sent a man that can give you forgiveness of sin. He's warning them. Watch this. He's going to warn them now in verse number 40-39. And by him, all that, underline this, believe whosoever fear God, faith starts with hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without belief, it's impossible to please God. If you're on the call today and you cannot believe everything you read in the scripture, you will not be saved. Say what, brother? You will not be saved. Because your faith is not in the scripture, the word of God. If your belief comes from the word of God, you will believe, as Paul is telling these Jews, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified. Watch this. By the law of Moses. See, he said, what I'm preaching could not have been preached by David, by Moses, by the prophets. Why? Jesus had not died. Only the apostles could preach this New Testament doctrine, the doctrine of Christ. This is what Jesus taught his disciples when he was with them. After he left them, after he died, he left his apostles to completely write the New Testament, which we have today. Only through Christ does God offer salvation. Acts 4 and verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Romans 3 and verse 25. Romans 8, verse 1 through 4. By him that all that believe are justified or would be declared not guilty. Listen to this. He says, beware. And those people listening to him must understand, he's saying, you all better be careful. And to those who will listen to me, beware, therefore, lest there come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. What is he saying? You have to hear the word preached. For God gave preachers to preach his word. Now, preachers like myself are under charge. What is the charge? Preach the word. I can't preach how I feel, what I think. I must preach the word. And when you preach the word, you're preaching Christ. And the sin here, the problem, what he's warning them about. If you want forgiveness, you cannot be a despiser, or you're going to perish. And it's going to be because you didn't believe. I'm confident today that many people who say they believe in the Bible don't believe. They're unbelievers. They don't believe in them. They believe in Jesus, but they don't believe in the Bible. How does that work? How can you believe in Jesus, whom you never saw with your own eyes, and then don't believe in his very command to be baptized? How can that be? I think they call that oxymoron. How can that be that a person says, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the one church? I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe you need to be baptized. I believe in Jesus, I don't believe in taking communion. Then how do you believe in Jesus? It didn't come from some math book somewhere. It came from this book called the Bible. So you just don't believe. You say, oh, Brother Bruce, you're hurting my feelings. Well, there's going to be a lot of people hurt under their judgment. I'd rather hurt you now. I'd rather hurt you now. I'd rather for you to hurt right now. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 7:21. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be to find it. Many be to go there, verse 14 says, the straightest gate, narrow is the way to lead to life. And few there be to find. That's Matthew 7:13-14. Only a few gonna find this straight and narrow. Who will be those few who find this straight and narrow way? Those who believe. The believers. Listen to Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You said there are gonna be some people who say they believe, they call me Lord, but they're not gonna enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, this is the day that you should be worried about. Not what I'm doing to hurt your feelings. Here's the day your feelings don't really get hurt and you can't do nothing about it. Here's Jesus talking. You say you believe in Jesus? Then listen to him talk. Now, the only people this is going to register with is a person who fear God. These are the only people that are going to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. What did Jesus say? Not everyone is going to heaven. Not even some believers. Matthew 7:21. But he did do the will of my Father. Many will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out devils and done many wonderful works? These were so-called Christians, people who done things in the name of Jesus. But here comes the feeling you're going to get hurt right here. This is going to be a shock. I'm going to tell you who's going to be a shock. Let me just call a name. It's going to be a shock to anyone who called themselves a Christian but don't do what the Christians did in the New Testament, such as the Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, Episcopals, Pentecostals. I'm going to keep naming them. Why you say that, brother? None of them are referred to in the scripture. God never told none of them to preach what they're preaching. He never told them that their churches would be in to save them in their churches. He never told them to do the things they're doing. He never told nobody to sprinkle someone in baptism. He never told them that. He never told anyone to accept Jesus as a personal Savior. He never told them that. What are you saying, brother? I'm telling you, you better beware, and all of us in the church need to be aware, that when we reject what God has said, you don't fear him. If you're not attending services, if you're not giving right, my sisters and brothers, if you don't live right and repent when you have to, confess when you need to, if you're not giving right like you're supposed to, if you're not participating and serving God like you should be, you're not going to be saved. You say, why you say that, brother? What about grace? Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Whosoever fear God, when they sin, they'll repent and make their confession. That's how we stay saved, Church of Christ. But if you left the Lord, you on the call today, you've been on this call, but you wouldn't come into the building when we was there, and you ain't going to come back when we get ready to go back. Just understand this. Just like I'm talking to those who are not members of Church of Christ, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to us, including myself. We have to do everything we can to live the way God told us to live and to walk in the light in order to be saved. That's right. This applies to the visitor. You think I'm tough on you? I'm tough on Hollow Heights. I'm tough on the Church of Christ. I'm tough on Tom and Brooke. I can't get to heaven without doing what God told me to do. You can't get there either. I'm just keeping it real, which I'm known for that. I hope that's what I go down. Everybody says, Brother Brooks is real. He didn't get in the pulpit fake. He didn't wear no robe. He didn't have no favorite parking spot. He didn't allow you to call him reverend. He didn't get up there like he was something better than everybody else. I get up there because I know God gave his son for me, and I'm trying my best to live that life. Am I living it perfectly? I will be a liar if I told you I was. And you're a liar if you tell me you are. Ain't nobody going to live it perfectly. But I'm going to tell you this much. I'm going to stay in the Church of Christ. I'm going to keep drinking that blood every Sunday. I'm going to keep preaching the same truth because I'm going to stay with the grace of God that bringeth salvation. And I know for me, just like you, we got to do whatever. And some of you spend too much time worried about everybody else and what they're doing. How you going to look down on a brother or sister who's fallen and when you done failed before? That's something I really that bothers me, irks me. Oh, we're going to set him down. Are we going to not fellowship with her or do that? How many of you ain't never sinned before? Ain't nobody on this call can say you ain't never sinned. Be careful how you try to dump stuff on people who fall because they're weak in their flesh. What we need to do is be encouraging them to get up and get back on the battlefield, because you ain't the first one who fell. You will not be the last one who fell. And you better understand this with Galatians 6:1, for every one of us in the Church of Christ need to understand this. This is to save people. The Paul says this in Galatians 6:1. Brother, he's talking about those who are overtaken in a fault. And of any of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have fallen, you all, overtaken in a fault. The Bible says, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. You know what? Spiritual people don't condemn other people who fall. They don't go around, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have nothing to do. You cannot talk to no one else about their sin unless you look in the mirror, my friend. And when you look in the mirror, you'll see a sinner. You'll see somebody who needs Jesus just like you. And you will make every effort to restore that person, not to talk about them, not to have nothing to do with them, but to try to restore them so their precious souls can be saved as well. So what are you saying, Brother Brooke? People, I'm talking to members and non-members of the church. When we don't do what God told us to do, just like these Jews here, you're going to reject Christ. And when you reject Christ, John 12:48, Bible says, he that rejected me, receiving not my word, had one that judged him. The words I spoke are the same with judging the last day. So watch these guys. Let's go back to Acts 13. Verse 42. Watch what happened to these Jews. They heard this message. Some of you probably heard the parts that you wanted to hear this morning, but the people who are there that fear God are going to hear every part of it that applies to them. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, they left. They left the building now. They're leaving the building. The Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them. So the Gentiles heard this sermon. And they said, man, we want to hear more about what he just said. And this audience were people who wanted to know more about the truth. We have to remember, I'm talking Church Christ members now, there are people in this world who still want to know the truth, but I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It might not be your mama. It might not be your daddy. It may not be your brother or sister or your fiance or the person you want to marry or be in your life. No matter how much you want that person to obey the truth, if that man, that woman don't fear God, they're not going to obey. So you might well relax. What are you saying, relax, Brother Brooke? Just live the life before them and pray that they obey God. Stop trying to push the Bible down their throat, because people who don't obey the Bible, don't believe in the Bible, they're not going to obey it. Well, you know, my daddy was a Baptist. My mom was a Baptist. I was born a Baptist. I'm not a Baptist because you don't believe in the Bible. People who believe in the Bible will never say, I was born something, die something. You don't say stuff like that. That's a person who don't believe. They believe more in what their daddy taught them or what their mama taught them and what God is trying to teach. What is that person? How do you define a person like that? You are a person who, this person, do not fear God. Let's look over. Let's go back to sermon. Are y'all still sitting there? You know, I know I interjected some present-day applications from a first-century sermon. It's the 21st century. I'm preaching. Paul was preaching in the first century and got the same kind of people in his audience. That's what I'm proving. Listen to this. Let's go to it. Verse 43. Now, when the congregation, this is a gathering of people, was broken up, many of the Jews, religious proselytes, followed Paul and Barnabas. See, they left the building. They have dismissed. They had a dismissal prayer or whatever. If I just bring it the way we are. Everybody's walking out of the building. They're going to the parking lot. That's what you would see at Hollow Heights. But there were some people there, many of the Jews and proselytes, people wanted, man, I had never heard this. They kept following Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I've had people when I preach funerals, and that's, you know, some people say that's not the time to tell people the truth, which I totally disagree with. Totally. I 100% disagree with it. You're welcome to tell anybody that I do. Because that's the time when people will follow me to the parking lot, or they'll come for a CD. Or they'll talk to me in the foyer. That's when people want to know more, because they never heard about this. See, people, when I get a funeral, most of the time there's more people in a funeral that are visitors and not members of the Church of Christ that have never heard the truth that I'm preaching. They had never heard it before. They still think they should call the preacher Reverend. They believe they should call the preacher Reverend. They believe that they're supposed to take the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of every month. They believe any church will do. Now, when they hear me preach, I'm going to say, it don't say any church will do. It don't say call a preacher reverend. It doesn't say none of those things. And so they're going to be sitting there shocked. And when I walk out by them, some of them are going to look at me with strange looks. Some of them are going to walk away and not speak to me. But it's going to have those few that's going to come to me. And I remember many occasions, I remember certainly when I remember Jasmine Carter came to me after the funeral and said, "You were talking to me." We've had funerals where we baptized 12 people, 8 people. Why? Those people feared God. Those people wanted to know more. Those people wanted to hear the truth. Those people did not leave there with tickled ears. They heard. And here we are here. We got Jews and religious proselytes following after Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuading them, continue in the grace of God. And when you continue in the grace of God, that's what we want to do. Notice this. In Titus chapter 2, Titus 2, go over there right quick. Titus 2:11. Watch this now. Titus 2 and verse 11. I'm giving you plenty of Bible, y'all. Titus 2:11. Here it is. He said, "For the grace of God." Watch this now. So I said, "Well, see there? We're saved by grace. Here's our grace word. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." When you preach Jesus, when I preach Jesus, I'm preaching the grace of God that brought salvation. It came through Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Teaching us denying ungodliness, worldly lust, knows how we should live each other. This grace could cause you should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself us, here comes grace, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto him, a peculiar people, a zealous of good work. So what is the grace they continued in? The grace that Paul was preaching was the grace on the cross. He was known as Jesus. He was called grace and truth. So when you preach truth, you're preaching Jesus. When you preach grace, you have to preach Jesus. You have to preach Jesus when you preach grace, because Jesus was the grace that brought salvation. John 1 and verse 14. The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father." Watch it now. Full of grace and truth. So when I preach Jesus, I'm preaching grace. When I preach Jesus, I'm preaching truth. When you obey Jesus, you're obeying grace. When you obey Jesus, you're obeying truth. So you're not just saved by grace, which means all I got to do is believe in Jesus. No, ma'am, no, sir. You got to, if you fear God, you got to believe in Jesus, and then you have to obey Jesus. That's right. Now, watch what happened here in verse 44. "And the next day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Man, people want to know about this, what Paul then was preaching. "And when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy." See, these people weren't there because they feared God. They were filled with envy, spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas, these two gospel preachers, Church of Christ preachers, that's who they were. They were Church of Christ preachers. Waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have spoken to you." He said, "It was, God told us to preach to y'all first, the Jews," he's telling them about. God told them to preach to the Jews first. They would be, the Jews were those who would be preached to first. Peter preached to them first. Now Paul preaching to them. And the Jews, Paul says here, "They should first have spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, judge yourself." Notice he said, "unworthy of everlasting life." Now everybody on the call needs to understand this. You need to be listening. Every one of us, all of us need to listen. Anybody who cannot judge themselves to do what the Bible said do will be unworthy of everlasting life. You cannot be saved and believe whatever you want to believe. And that's what Paul is telling these Jews. And I'm telling everybody listening to me today. And one thing about these conference calls, we've had a whole lot of people listening to me on Sunday morning than I ever had before. And some of you who fear God are going to be different after we get off these calls. You're going to be at the building. You're going to be baptized. You're going to be coming every Sunday. You're going to change. You're going to see the error of your ways because you fear God. And that makes you worthy of everlasting life. While the chosen people were to have the first opportunity, meaning the Jews, God had put no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. There's no difference between me and the white man. There's no difference between a Jew, a Gentile, no nationality. Everybody got to obey the same thing. Yes, the Jews were chosen in the beginning, the children of Israel. But God has brought the Gentiles into the fold now. In Acts 1:8, the Bible says, Jesus said, you shall receive power after you talk to this, after the Holy Ghost come over, you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He told them they were going to speak to the Jews first. In Acts 3, in verse 26, he says, unto you first, God hath raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, talk to Jews, in turning you away from every one of you from his iniquities. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Notice he said, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. To who first? The Jew first, and also to the Greek. And that's what Paul did here. They were the chosen people, but God brought everyone into the fold through Jesus Christ. Thank God. Thank God that he done that for us. So, he says here, so had the Lord commanded us. It was not only the Lord's will that they should first preach to the Jews, but they should turn to the Gentiles. Notice what he says. Saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many were ordained to eternal life believe. Here's a key word again. Whosoever will be saved, that will obtain eternal life, will believe. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews, here they are, stirred up. They upset. Just like denomination people, when I preach it, they upset. They get up and walk out. They don't want to hear it. Why? They're not believers. When a person believes, they're not upset when you teach them the truth. They will gladly receive the word, just like on that day of Pentecost. The Bible says they that gladly received the word were baptized. Here it is again. Who received the word? Those who were glad about it. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and chief men of Israel, of Syria, raised persecution against Paul. They don't want to hear Paul preach no more. And Barnabas expelled them out of there, kicked them out. But the Bible said they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. Now you see, here's exactly what Jesus told them to do. Y'all go preach to them. In Luke 9:5, he said, whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Here's what I do. I preach it, the truth, and I move on. Why? Only those who fear God will receive truth. Shake the dust off your feet. Once you share with your friends and family, you do not have to keep beating them over the head with truth, friends, brother and sister. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because I know of members of the Lord's church who keep on trying to get someone to obey, and that same person keep giving you the same old answers. Well, I just can't see it. I just don't see how God would have everybody want to. That person, you need to shake the dust off your feet. If Jesus told them to do it, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to shake it off. That don't mean you don't love them. That means you're moving on, and you have already shared with them. It's on them at that point to obey the truth. Now, be those who will fill with joy. There will be people who will love my preacher, members of the church of Christ. I appreciate Brother Smith and his prayer for me this morning. They'll appreciate my emphasis on salvation. There are people all over this nation who now know that Brother Brooks' emphasis on saving souls. I'm not out there fighting what's going on in the Church of Christ. I'm fighting to get the gospel to the world. I'm fighting through my program to remind members of the Church of Christ that have left the truth, that have gone to congregations, that are no longer worshiping according to New Testament pattern, that are in churches of Christ that are beatboxing and bass miking and dancing, praise dancing, and doing everything but preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. What I'm doing through my program, our program, Holly Heights, is saying that's wrong. I'm also saying to the world through our program, when I put white faces on our flyer, Hispanic faces on our flyer, black faces on our flyers, I'm saying that the Church of Christ is made up of believers, regardless to skin color or nationality. That's what I'm doing. And that's why it's getting attention. And that's why it's growing. Because the emphasis is on salvation for us and for our friends and family. The disciples that believe like I believe will be filled with joy that it's happening. Now, for those who don't, I'm telling you what your problem is going to be. You have some serious problems with them judgment. And this is back to Ecclesiastes 2:13, where I close. Solomon said, let us see the conclusion of the whole matter. We are to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Watch this. With every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. My brothers and sisters and friends, ain't none of us going to get away with nothing. Everything we're doing, we're naked before God. He see it, he know it, and we better try to get it right before we die. Don't be fake. Whatever you do, don't be. If I never taught y'all nothing else, I want you to know, Brother Brooks, for this. Don't be fake. If you're not living right, you're not living right. Admit it. Face it. But know this, as long as you keep coming, you keep listening to the word of God, you may feel beat up when I'm preaching, but here's why. Turn your Bible to Hebrews 4:12. I'm closing. For the word of God is quick, means it's alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. It's going all inside of you. And of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In verse 13, he says this. The Hebrew writer says, neither is there any creature, and that's us. God is the creator, we're a creature, that is not manifest, be made known in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto eyes of him whom we have to do. God sees everything we do. That ought to be a scary thought. You're not getting away. I'm not getting away. Our best hope is the key letting the word of God come in us and work on us, and we repent and change things. And all of us who've been Christian long enough, we ought to be able to say, we can look back and say, a lot of things we've changed. But don't ever think you have arrived. But take heed lest you fall. Lest you fall. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest you fall. Stay focused, Hollow Heights, members of the Church of Christ. Stay focused. Don't think you have arrived. Don't think you are there. Just fear God and keep his commandments. And maybe if you're on the call this morning and you all here, you may feel trapped by sin and you need help. Your help gonna come when you fear God. Maybe you're physically sick and need the prayers of the righteous. Call on those who fear God. Maybe on the call, you're struggling with something or you're feeling guilty of your lifestyle. Don't quit. Don't stop coming. Don't stop listening. Fear God enough to let his word change your life. Maybe you're on the call this morning. You got burdens. You got troubles in your life. You got things going on with your family, your friends. I mean, your family, your children, your wife. You got things going on. What are you to do? Fear God. Stay with the scripture. Live like he told you. Follow him. Look unto the hills from which cometh your help. It's going to come from God. And your burdens can be lifted at Calvary. Maybe you're on the call this morning. And you want to be saved. But you can't think about nothing. But what about my grandmother? What about my auntie? What about my sister who wasn't a member of the Church of Christ? What about you? When are you going to think about you? When are you going to fear God? And it may be you that will save the rest of your family and get them to fear God. But if you're not worried about it, then you don't fear God. But if you want to call, you fear him and you want salvation. And you need forgiveness of sins. And perhaps you want to get off the call today and be filled with joy. Like those who heard the disciples there. Only those who fear God will believe that God so loved them that he gave his only begotten son. I'm giving you what you must do now. John 3:16. God so loved you that he gave his son. His son was Jesus of Christ, born of a Virgin Mary, lived about 33 years. In the last 24 hours of his life, he was treated as a criminal, as if he did nothing, as if he did something wrong, and he did nothing wrong. It was you and me that he was taking the place of. He took the beating for me and you. God commended his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He was dying for us. They spit on him for us. They slapped him for us. They hit him with a clenched fist for us. He stood before Pilate for us. He took the beating by the scourging of the whip that Pilate ordered for us. He wore the crown of thorns for us. He tried to carry the tree to Calvary for us. He laid there and let him drive nails in his hands and his feet for us. He stayed up there between those two thieves for 6 hours, suffering the most horrible form of death, of execution by crucifixion. He did that for us, for me, for you, that we could have salvation. He did it for those who would fear God and give audience, those who would fear God and hear him. And when they took him down off that cross, he got up and he gave the command, found in Mark 16:15-16, to go into all of the world and preach this glad tidings, this good news that Paul did to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So those who fear God will believe and be baptized. According to Revelation 1:5, the Bible says there in Revelation 1:5, what the blood of Jesus would do for us in baptism. He said, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him, notice, that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So when do we contact the blood that washed away our sins? Well, Saul was told this. He's the one preaching that. So he understood what Ananias told him in Acts 22. He was praying the sinner's prayer, and the preacher went to him and said, why tarriest thou? Another, stop praying. Arise and be baptized. Watch what he's telling. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So when you are baptized, that's when your sins are washed away. And only then can you call on the name of the Lord. Only then. So what you must do, Brother Brooks, to the visitors, you have to hear, number one, the word of the gospel, Acts 15 and verse 7. Hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17. The word of the gospel, specific preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, as Peter did, as Paul did, as Barnabas did, as Brother Brooks doing. We're preaching a death, burial, and resurrection to people who will be pricked in their heart to believe God done all that for me. And when you believe it, you will have no problem obeying it. So when you hear it, you will believe it. Step two. Step three, you will repent. You will make a decision when you fear God that I cannot no longer be in a church I can't read about in the Bible. I can no longer go without taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday like I'm supposed to. I can no longer go to a building where they're worshiping instrumental music. I can no longer be a part of a worship where they're beatbox and bass mic and praise dance and no longer be a part of it. I will repent and get out of that stuff. I will repent and start living like the New Testament Christians did. I will go back to what Paul preached, what Barnabas preached, what Peter preached, and what Brother Brooks is currently preaching in the first century. I'm preaching the same thing that Barnabas and Paul preached in the first century. I'm preaching what Philip preached in the first century, Acts 8. He preached the kingdom, which is the church of Christ. You can't have Christ without his church. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the church. Christ, even if Christ is the head of the church, even the husband, head of wife, even if Christ is the head of the church, excuse me, and the savior of the body. Christ is the head of the church. People want Christ. They don't want his one church. You can't have one without the other, my friend. And if you're in a church that's not church Christ, you've got to repent before you die. That means you got to change. And next step after you repent, you got to confess. What are you going to confess? That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How you know that? Acts 8:37. That eunuch preached. He confessed after he preached to by Philip. And then you got to be baptized. As commanded by the Lord. I talked about that enough. Mark 16:15-16. Acts 20:28-18. Go teach all nations. Jesus said, baptize them. Every nationality of people. Got to hear this gospel, believe it, repent of their sin, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and be baptized. I hope you enjoyed the lesson this morning. To members, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you want to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone. We'll take your confession over this call. As long as people hear you, he said, confess you before men. That means they're listening. Let every man have an ear to hear. Here, we don't have to see you. We have to hear you. You have to make that confession. And then after that, we will make arrangements for you to get to the building, wherever you are in our listening audience, and get you baptized. You become a member of the true church. But I'm going to tell you this. If you don't fear God, you're going to hang up this phone and keep doing what you're doing. And that means you're going to be lost in the end because you're unworthy of everlasting life. That's what Paul so told them. And I'm telling you the same thing. And then to members of the Church of Christ, this applies to us too. There's no one saved, always saved. You're on the call. You haven't made your confession. You don't ask for prayer. You hang up when we start, people start asking for prayer. That's a shame. When you go, you don't hang up when you want a prayer. You want people to hear you. I'm going to hit that hard. Because when we get to the building, people walking out doing an invitation. Why would you do that? When you need us to hear you, you want us to sit there and listen to your prayer because you want us praying for you and your family. You should stay on this call and hear everybody's prayer request before you hang up. That's true. Why? Because all of us need prayer. All of us need to be prayed for. And we need to be praying for one another. Pray for one another. That's a reciprocal command. We got to pray for me. I pray for me. You pray for me. I pray for you. You pray for me. That's reciprocal. And when you care about God, you care about the souls of the world, then you don't hang up when people are making prayer requests. Some of these people really need us praying for them. That's a shame for somebody to do that. You don't need to tell me why. God know why. I don't need to know why. You just think about what I just said. You think about that. And then so those of us who remember the church, don't look down on other people who follow. Let's try to help people. Let's try to encourage them. All of us need to be encouraged. I need to be encouraged. We get beat up enough in the world. So this is to the members of the church. Look at members of the church. Brother Birch love you. But we got to hear the truth as told. It got to be told. Somebody got to say it. I'm going to be one of those who will. I will do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. We want to do. We get ready to have an invitation song. We want those who are not members of the Church of Christ. And you want us to pray for you. We can pray for you too, that you come to repentance. We need to pray that your heart be open. If you need that, you need to repent, or you need to make you want to get saved. You want to be saved? Go ahead and hit 5-star, and we will open you up and let you tell us what we need. We also like to introduce yourself to us if you visit, so we'll know who you are, and we would like to pray for you, pray with you. We pray you obey the gospel. To members of the church, don't take the word of God and let it apply where it applies to you. When I'm preaching, remember, I'm preaching to everybody. Sometimes the shoe fit, sometimes it don't. It's okay. But parts that work for you, take it. Take it, swat it like a bitter pill, because it's good for you.